Blog Talk Radio.
One year ago, I was touch and go. Time made me see now the mystery taught me that love and time will change your mind and make it right, bring your darkness to the light. My heart sings every night, my love I bring to you.
I'm
Welcome to the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. My name is Yom Suf Arif. I, along with Cartrell of New York City and Sister Huda of Detroit, Michigan, sometime Ima Hadora of Illinois, bring these studies to you in representation of the Most High God of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaqub. You see, we are his spokespersons. He ain't going to come down and say much to you, but he left words for you. His footsteps are your pathway. And we like to, in virtue of these studies, point you in the right direction. His footsteps are our pathway, which is his words, and so on and so forth. So we feel inclined and led by the Most High to bring these intensive, in-depth studies to your attention. Because in these studies, you will find out that there's a formula for everything that ails you. There are solutions. I know you've been used to going to Black Lives Matter. Sometimes the alphabet crew, the LGBTQ, whatever, and sometimes to get it, you and me, people, sometimes the Democratic Party, and sometimes the Republican Party, and any other party they may have, you like going to them, but it don't offer you much solution. But the Most High offer you all kinds of solutions. There are all kinds of formulas. And that's being humble, most importantly, being terrorized the Most High. Why? Because he's your creator, and you should be. As Job has indicated, he's terrorized. He's frightened of Yah. And certainly Yom Suf Arif is too. And certainly if you are a due diligence student along with us, you are frightened right along with us. You're so frightened that you love him. You're frightened that you love him and you want to submit yourself to him, humble yourself to him, and follow his pathways. See, that's what we offer you on the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. You know, I was just called by a sister student in Memphis, Tennessee. She brought something to my attention. She said, you know, the chapters are synchronized with the days of the month. I said, wow, for real? And I was saying to myself as she was speaking, the Most High always synchronizes things. And yes, if you get lost from day to day, these chapters are synchronized by the Most High, not by Cartrell, not by Sister Yehuda, and certainly not by Yom Suf Arif. What does that suggest to you? Well, it suggests this to me, that we need to pay much more attention to these studies that we are continuing in with Job and his fair weather friends, how the Most High is working behind the scenes, and so on and so forth. And sometimes we get into our feelings sometimes. Why? Why me? Why not you? Why not Yom Suf? Why not anyone? There's no one special. So if you think you're something special, perhaps these studies won't appeal to you. But if you know you're not anything special, as Yom Suf Arif, as Cartrell, and Sister Yehudi, and then certainly Ima Hadora, and you fellow students out there, well, these studies do appeal to you. And you don't ask why? Why not, you said? Because you may very well be tested. Thank you, sister, our fellow student. Sister Nissan. Yeah, Sister Nissan out of Memphis, Tennessee. She shared that information with you. I'm sharing it with you, okay? That being said, before we get into our studies, you know I like to make comments on contemporary subject matters. I saw Babyface Nelson get on the stand and start crying. I meant Cal Rittenhouse. I was going back in time. Yeah, Babyface Nelson, you know who that was? He was a gangster with the Dillinger gang. As a matter of fact, he helped Dillinger escape from jail. That's how he joined up with the team. He was called Babyface too. And I kind of digressed a little bit because he do look like little Babyface Nelson, doesn't he? So Babyface Nelson, Kyle Rittenhouse, got on the stand blubbering. But here's what people are failing to miss. Kyle Rittenhouse, you took that weapon on scene. You took that deadly weapon on scene. If you hadn't took the initiative to take that deadly weapon on site, perhaps those men wouldn't be dead. You are the catalyst. You are the trigger to whatever happened. Okay? And so, and whether or not you're crying on stand or whatnot, at the end of the day, two men are still dead. If you were in our land, you would have to answer for that. I don't care how much you got on this stage and start blubbering. You would be much more responsible. You would take much more initiative to do something constructive or positive than to get on stand, little baby-faced Nelson, and blubbering for your life. What about the lives of those men that were lost for your inept mismanagement of your own action? Also, I never seen a prosecutor do his best to lose a case. My life. You know, when I used to be a bad guy, I used to go for them prosecutors threw the book at me. Matter of fact, they threw every book that was in the courthouse at me. But I have never seen a prosecutor do his damnedest to try to lose the case. But I'm not surprised in the daughter of Babylon. Anything is suspected under the system of universal white race supremacy at its best. So let me bring Sister Yehudi on from Detroit, Michigan. Then I bring on my dear brother and friend from New York City. So Yehudi, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
You. Shalom, shalom. Shalom to all that's listening. Shalom to you, my brother, and of course, Gotriel.
Thank you,
I hope Yakir. Yes, and I'll give a shout out to Yakir. She comes on. It would be delightful.
It would
she
be.
Has the time. Yes.
It was a very pleasant conversation with her. Very pleasant.
Yes, it was. I really appreciate her coming. I always love when people have good information, the sound speaking, and helpful, and solutions, and just loving the Most High. And, yes, I also agree with you. I saw a snippet of this young man. He deliberately went there.
Right.
He felt empowered.
Exactly.
It's just what's sad is because some Caucasian people don't know they're racist.
Exactly.
And they think it's like we got two trials going on.
Right.
And I hear some people say that with a young African American man, those three guys, Caucasians, going to get off. We don't know. Or the young man that shot.
I'm praying to the Most High, Sister Yehudi, that they don't.
Right. But my main thing is, what we're doing today and people out here who are educating others, my hats go out to you because we need this information. We were supposed to be separated anyway, and we chose. I understand it to the degree because if you see your neighborhood deteriorating, but on the other hand, we were raised that we help the neighborhood. That's why I like to hear young people come on, because we see the deterioration has gone completely crazy in terms of people migrating out of Detroit, Chicago, St. Louis, California, not only because of the terrible conditions, but because of the way the government is set up, they have more or representation of their neighborhoods. Caucasian people do. But we did too. Even though back then people say, well, we got bombed, I said, well, today we have the resources. Then you wouldn't have these trials going on. Just think about it. If people were kinder to one another and all this racism, it's going to come to a head. You wouldn't have all this confusion. And it is what it is. I'm praying neither one of them get off to send a message. But then we got to do something. I mean, the people that are listening, people out there, come on. We got to be active in whatever it is that you can make a difference. I always say that, whatever you can do to make a difference. So we'll see as time goes on what's happening. The plot thickens, doesn't it, Yom Tov?
It certainly does, sister. It certainly does.
Okay. Yes, sir.
Okay.
I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Sister Yehudi. And I'd like to make a correction on the sister, our fellow student in Memphis. Her name is Nisanya. Nisanya. Beautiful name.
Oh, Nisanya. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Nisanya. All right. Katria, my dear brother and friend, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless you, all my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise to the Holy One of Yisrael, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Shalom, family. May the Most High bless you. Brother Yasuf, Sister Yehudi, and family out there, may the Most High bless y'all.
May he bless you too, my brother and friend, and your family. Thank you.
Yes. You said a mouthful. I appreciate that.
Anytime,
but,
my brother. Anytime.
You call your man Babyface Nelson. I ain't seen no tears coming out of his eyes.
Me neither, bro. Me, I looked for him. I didn't see one of them.
Well, I saw was an ugly proof face, but, man.
Oh, my gosh.
My grandson is 18. My grandson.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he's never handled an AR-15 rifle.
Right.
Much less a handgun. This kid was 17 when he went to this spot.
Right.
And where was his parents? How are you going to let your child, 17 years old, who's considered a minor, walk out your house with an AR-15? Now his mother's in court, and she's crying real tears.
Yeah, she's really crying.
Yeah, because she knows
in
trouble.
Ineptness, she should be crying.
And the families that man killed, they crying real tears.
You better believe it.
Well, he displayed today. He's talking about he was there to help. He's a medic. He had his medic bag with him. He's putting out fires. He's wiping graffiti up the wall. But why did you go there with your gun?
Exactly.
Because that's alleged, right?
Huh?
But it's alleged that he did that. You didn't see any evidence of what he just said.
Oh, they showed him cleaning graffiti off the walls.
Yeah, they showed it.
You mentioned the word privileged, and he's using his privilege because when he shot those three people, he shot three people, killed two, wounded another, and do you know he went home? He walked past the police calmly, got in his car, and he went home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He tried to turn himself in.
Right. No, he ain't trying to do himself in. Well, he walked past the police.
He had 100 holes in it before he got close, okay?
He walked past the police officers.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Yeah, he certainly did.
Oh, my gosh.
But, I mean, the more things change, the more things stay the same. This is stuff we witnessed when we were growing up as children. When we were 10, 11, 12 years old. These are the same type of stories that we heard. You know, and the justice system is about just us. That's why you see the prosecutor presenting such an inept case. You've never seen a judge and a prosecutor not be on the same page.
Not what I was before the trials.
It's usually the defense team that's out of order with the judge, like we see in the case with Ahmaud Arbery.
Right.
The defense team is out of order with the judge, but that's usually the case.
Right.
But these guys in the Aubrey case, they think that, they think they were privileged too. Just
they
because you were
did.
A police officer at one time doesn't mean that you're a police officer after you retire, and that makes you a police officer now forever. And you even conduct yourself like a police officer.
No, with a rebel flag on your pickup truck in the front. I'd have ran from you too.
And when they answer them, why should I stop and answer you anything? If I'm jogging, get myself in shape. And you chasing me, I see you got rifles. What? And they chased him for 4 minutes.
Exactly.
And they had to shoot him three times.
I thought it was twice. I'm sorry. I thought it was twice. They shot him three times?
Yeah.
Two shots.
Mm-hmm.
Two hit him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What was the third shot for? If you hit him twice.
He has to make sure he did. What is that old saying, Cottrell and Sister Hootie, when they said about our Native American brothers and sisters, a good Indian is a dead engine.
And they have the same terminology for us, bro.
Yeah.
But they just can't get rid of us so easy.
Exactly.
But we have a power behind us, and you mentioned the Most High earlier in your dissertation earlier, that we should fear Yah. We should fear our Creator. Yah is awesome. He's merciful. His mercies endure forever. We complain about, you know, the complaints that we complain about.
Right.
But imagine, right, you know, people complain about roaches and bed bugs in their house. Do you know what kind of arsenal of insects are out there? Like wasps and mosquitoes and, I mean, not mosquitoes because mosquitoes get in your house, but how about fire ants and, you know, insects that could really devastate you?
They'll get you.
And he could turn them loose. If a roach could get in your house, how about fire ants? Why can't they get in your house?
Exactly.
And keep you from sleeping at night.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Because they'll set you on fire. They will set you on fire, them fire ants.
And why don't animals dominate the earth? Because they're bigger, they're stronger, they got fangs, they got claws. And if the Most High turned them loose on us, we wouldn't know what to do, especially if we didn't have weapons.
That's a fact. Mm-hmm.
Wolves and bears and lions and tigers, they got the upper hand on us as far as the physical makeup of their character. But Yah's power shows, well, I'm going to give man dominion over the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea. And that's what we see. We don't have fur, we don't have fangs, we don't have claws, yet we dominate the earth.
Exactly.
Not only dominate it, but destroy it. We're supposed to have, like, a spirit of taking care of it. But at the rate the world is going now, it's being destroyed every day.
That's what I'm saying.
Exactly. All right, Cartrell, Sister Hootie, y'all done with your commentary. Let's get busy. May the Most High bless us. Yeah, go ahead, Cartrell.
I want to know how a guest could chime in. Because we have a guest on the line that may want to say something.
By all means, let them speak.
What do they have to press?
What's their contract?
How do they raise their hand to speak?
Oh, talking about a guest? You got a guest?
Maybe, perhaps, if he got through.
Okay, all thing they had to do is hit number one on their phone.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I'm hoping too. I'm hoping too that we have a guest. That would be nice. So we're going with a study jumpsuit. Excuse me for interrupting you.
Thank you very much. No problem, sister. Thank you very much. Brothers and sisters, meditate on this. May the Most High bless you. May his footsteps direct and order your path. Okay? And be humble. And be terrified all at the same time. But he is merciful, as Cartier alluded to. Chapter 10 of Job. Job is giving his dissertation, as Cartier likes to say it. He's not relenting in it. He's going to say, I'm not going to relent. And he says it. Let me tell you what he says it. I'm disgusted with life. And then he says, I give rein to my complaint. He said, I'm going to let loose my complaint. I ain't holding back nothing. Then he says, speak in the bitterness of my soul. How I'm feeling, I'm going to say what I'm feeling like. In the bitterness of my soul. I said to Yah, do not condemn me. Let me know what you charge me with. What's my charge? So he's saying to Yah, okay, I'm going to be honest. I'm going to be frank and above board. I'm not going to hold anything back. So, Yah, what's the charge? What did I do? But he don't know really. He's speaking in, what was the word I'm trying to use? He's speaking in
metaphor.
Some sort of self-pity.
Oh,
and rightfully so. Right? I think that's one word. Cartrell, did you have a word?
Yeah.
The fact that he's expressing himself about his problems is healthy.
Right.
A lot of people hold stuff in, and it kind of eats them up inside.
Right.
You see here, Job is willing to express it all to get it out of his system.
Get it out. Get the poison out. Speak the bitterness of my soul. Speak this poison in me. And he says, does it benefit you to defraud, to despise the toils of your hands? You made me, and you despise the toil of your hands while smiling on the counsel of the wicked. While the wicked and such as these friends are talking wickedly of mine, smiling on that counsel of the wicked? Do you, yeah, you're not human. Do you have the eyes of flesh? Your vision better, is your vision that of mere men? Are your days the days of a mortal? You're totally unlike us. Are your years the years of a man? Which he's saying, I know that's not true. That you seek my neck. Are you so petty, Yah? That you searching out my iniquity and search out my sin? You know that I'm not guilty, Yah. And that there is none to deliver from your hand. You know I'm not guilty, Yah, but can't nobody do nothing about it. I can't do nothing about it, but I'm going to speak the poison in me. I'm going to be frank and above, but Yah, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to tell you how I feel. And he said, because in the final analysis, can't no Black Lives Matter, can't no Republican Party, can't no Democratic Party, can't no LGBTQ, whatever, trying to get at you and me, and any other party. Can't nobody deliver me from your hands. I know this. Why? Why cannot anyone deliver me from your hands, Yah? Your hands shaped and fashioned me, us, then destroyed every part of me. Yah, consider that you fashioned me like clay. I'm nothing. Will you then turn me back into dust? You pour me out like milk. You pour me out like milk. That's how you form me. Congeal me like cheese. You clothe me with skin and flesh. You wove me of bones and sinews. You bestowed on me life and care. Your providence washed over my spirit. Yet these things you hid in your heart. Can't nobody search out what you did, how you created me and us. I know that you had this in mind, to watch me when I sin. You planned this, Yah. Yah didn't plan this. And Job is speaking rather presumptuously because he don't know what's really going on behind the scenes. And he's claiming that Yah has planned this all the time. It was in your plan. But it wasn't. It was the prosecutor, the advocator, the Satan. And the Most High allowed him to test Job. So he's speaking rather presumptuously because he don't know what's going on behind. Just like most of, why me? Why not you? You don't know what's going on. Just like Young Soup. Go ahead. So shoot it.
Oh, I was saying that, I'm sorry. I was talking to y'all.
No. Go ahead. Speak your mind.
I agree with Cottrell. He's letting out his frustration. Without trying to sin, he's trying also kind of being humble, because he said, you know, he's asking the most, do you have eyes of flesh? Do you see as man sees? Are your days like the days of a mortal man? Are your years like the days of a mighty man, that you should seek for my crookedness and search out my sin? He's questioning. It's like, you know how sometimes you say, dang, what have I done? What is going on? Like today I said, I'm going through? Okay, I must have sinned. What did I really do? Most High, forgive me. You know, you question yourself through the process. Why, he just imagine him. He's sick. He's got boils. So it's interesting how you're reading it. And
But I would say, Sister Yehuda, that he's on the borderline.
Mm-hmm.
He's on the borderline because he's questioning Yah. And then he's accusing Yah of deliberately doing what he's doing to him to cause him the anguish that he's having. So he's on that borderline.
But he's trying to understand that, maybe.
He's on the borderline because you're making accusations about Yah that you created me, and then you plan this all the time to do me like you're doing me. That's not true. So he's on the borderline because he's being presumptuous.
Yeah. I guess because I'm not using a judgment with him, he's trying to figure out. But, okay, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, he's on the borderline. He hadn't crossed the line entirely, but he's on the border.
But they say
go ahead, Katrina.
They say desperate men do desperate things. And the fact that you're saying what he's saying is borderline, it shows how desperate he is. Because mm-hmm. what else can he do? What else can he say
okay.
to resolve or get, you know, a solution for his problem?
Right.
The thing that we can keep in mind, though, is that he's mentioning principles from
mm-hmm.
ancient times that are true out of
mm-hmm.
his mouth. And the
right.
fact that Yah created us out of a milky substance and
right.
formed us like Jesus formed, like, he got
right.
some serious imagination, don't he?
Right.
The fact that he's not being measured by Torah. He's being measured whether he's good or evil, whether he's done
exactly.
wickedness or iniquity. And that
exactly.
existed way before Moses was born, which is why Yah judged Cain when he killed his brother Abel, which
exactly.
is why Yah judged Adam and Eve, which is why Yah judged the people in Noah's time. He brought judgment
exactly.
in the earth at the Tower of Babel. He brought
exactly.
judgment at Sodom and Gomorrah. Why?
Exactly.
Because people are wicked. He said, it grieves
right.
me that I made man because man is evil from his youth. That's what he said
exactly.
in Genesis. Way before
exactly.
Moses, we get to Moses in the book of Exodus. So
exactly.
they're talking about the principles of good and evil. And Joel was trying to search himself, like, what evil, what iniquity, what sin
have I done
for this
exactly.
judgment to be so hard upon me?
Right.
He has every right to ask that because
uh-huh.
it's like he's been judged for something that he
yeah,
didn't
but here's where he gets on the borderline, Katriel, and Sis Yehudi.
Uh-huh.
The last verse I just read. I mean, when you make this accusation against Yah, so he makes this accusation that Yah, you created me and you made me, as Katriel alluded to, you clothed me with skin and flesh, you wove me of bones and sinews, you bestowed upon me life and care. Your providence watched over my spirit, which he does all spirits. Yet, he's accusing Yah of being underhanded. He's at the borderline now because he said, yet these things you hid in your heart. You know that you had this in mind all the time. It's just like the
okay.
Gap Band song. You turned me on just to turn me off. You dropped a bomb on me. So basically he said like the Gap Band. You turned me on. You made me like you made me. But you were underhanded in making me. And he said, to watch me when I sin. You were watching me all the time, which you watch everybody all the time, to be told. And not to cleanse me of my iniquity. You did this by design. You making an accusation, this Most High, that you made an accusation that he killed your children. He stole away your livelihood. He showed your wife her disloyalty. He has this information from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. He's got these fair weather friends that didn't come there to give him love and support. They came to get on him, to double down on him, a double whammy, so to speak. So Job is at the borderline. He hadn't crossed it. But a lot of us be at the borderline when we talk to you. Why me? Why me? Me, 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 me. Why not you? Why not Yom Suf? Because the Most High, let's concede on these points.
Okay.
If the Most High, that we all agree, made all of us, just like Job said, the Most High can do whatever he wants to do with us, whenever he wants to do, how long he wants to do. And if he wants to allow the prosecutor, Sauton, to do so, he can do it. That's why we should never cross that borderline when it comes to Yah. And Job is at the borderline. Go ahead, Sister.
Okay. Yansu, have you got to 14
yes.
yet? Or I'm overstepping.
Let me see. Yes, I said to watch me when I sin, and not
okay.
clear me. And then you didn't want to clear me of my iniquity.
But listen, this is what mine read. If I sin, then you watch me, and let no crookedness of mine go unpunished. So he's
right.
questioning. If
right.
I am wrong, woe to me. And if I am righteous, I would not lift up my head, filled with shame and seeing my grief. So,
hold on, Sister Judy. Let me tell you, like Cardrell said, you're getting ahead of the story.
Well, I said I'm probably getting ahead of myself.
I'm gonna complete it, and I'm gonna hand the mic over to you and Cardrell because I know you're excited. I know you're excited. I get that way sometimes, but So I'm not checking you. So don't believe I'm checking you, dear sister.
Okay,
but I just
I'm
know
okay.
You're psychic. Contra had to rein me in sometimes. He said, Sue, you're getting ahead of the story. So don't and don't
I
take it as a check. I know you're excited. I'm excited too. Let's keep the excitement. So he says, should I be guilty? I'm going to verse 15. Now this side,
okay.
I'm reading the Torah. Okay.
Okay.
I'm reading the Tanakh.
So can I jump in here real quick?
Yes, sir. By all means.
Because he used a beautiful term.
Okay.
In the ninth verse.
Okay.
He says, remember, I pray that you have made me like clay. And we use that again, turn me into dust. So it shows that Job had the right mindset. That he's not a rock hard stiffneck.
Right.
Clay is valuable because you can mold it into the form that you want it to be molded in.
But you know,
the potter is not going to use you as part of his design because you're too hard to be molded.
Right. Right.
So he's asking, well, I've been clay.
Right.
Now all of a sudden you're going to turn me into dust again.
Right.
So that was kind of interesting to me because that's really like a humble approach that he's taking to the Most High.
Although he's on the borderline, he's keeping himself in check. See, a lot of us cross that line. And that, unfortunately,
I know you're emphasizing that point, the borderline point. But
so,
the fact that y'all allowed it, didn't he?
Right. It certainly did.
So Job is not wrong, is he?
Right.
No,
he's not
wrong in what he's saying.
No, he's not. No, he's not. He's just presumptuous. He's presumptuous as alluding to the fact you turned me on just to turn me off. You dropped a bomb on me, okay?
Well, he ain't lying on y'all.
Well, no. But see, he don't know what's going on behind the scenes.
Right.
It wasn't y'all that did this deliberately. It was Sauron, the prosecutor.
What's going on
with him. Right.
He's only expressing what's going on with him.
Exactly.
That's all he's doing, really.
Exactly.
Okay,
thank you, Katya.
Let's see.
Thank you, Sister Yehuda. He said, should I be guilty? The worst for me? Even when innocent, I cannot lift my head. And he's right. And you know, Katya and I and Sister Yehuda, we've studied this before. A lot of Hebrew brothers and sisters, they wake up like Rip Van Winkle out of the deep, deep sleep. And all of a sudden, they think it's something special. But the Most High said, you're all dirty. But when I bring you back home, I'm going to clean you up. So no matter how clean you think you've gotten yourself, you can stand another cleaning. And what do I mean by that? You can stand some more studies and some more humility. That's why we said on the Real Talk for Real People show, you would never get we never get certificates because this is an ongoing study. And it won't stop till the casket drops. Ours or yours. So and that's why we know we got to keep evolving. We got to evolve to the level as a man like Job. And know that I'm dirty. No matter how clean I try to get, I can't lift my head before you. See, like I said, some of y'all, I ain't talking about the fellow students on the Real Talk for Real People show. I'm talking about other students study. Skip to the Lou, my darling. They skip all over the place. Unlike the Real Talk for Real People study show, we take a book and we take it in detail. We strip it down bare to bare minimum, and we try to get you to look at it from a paradigm shift from all angles and then see us as we really are instead of something special. I just woke up. I'm a Hebrew Israelite. I just woke up. Oh, I'm something special. No, you ain't nothing special because you know our forefathers got us in this situation, and some of you are continuing to keep us in the situation that we find ourselves in. Because of that attitude, stiff-necked and stubborn, and not humble like Job is. Job is admitting, as all of us should admit, we all dirty out here. We all should continue to work together. We all should continue to study Most High Word together. We all should continue to love one another and know our status in the eyes of the Most High.
Okay.
Stay in your lane, as some of the young folks say. Go ahead, Sister Rudy.
No, where you leave off at?
Okay, I'm at 16. No, no, I'm not. I'm getting to 16. He said, because I know who I am, y'all, before you. He said, I know what I am before you. I am sated. So I am sated. I'm with shame because I know what I am before you, and I'm drenched in my misery. In verse 15.
So, Yamsuf.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes, go ahead.
What did the Most High say about Job?
Most High said Job is a righteous and blameless man.
Mm-hmm.
So even
here,
in his righteous,
being righteous and blameless means you got to know who you are, what your status is. Yes, go ahead.
Even though the Most High categorizes Job as blameless and righteous in his eyes, in the Most High's eyes, Job is not presumptuous in thinking that he's righteous and upright in the Most High's eyes. Because he said, even if I was, I couldn't lift my head, which emphasizes the humility in Job that you're talking about.
Well, no, I never alluded to the fact Job said he was righteous.
No, I didn't say you did. I'm making a point that he did not exalt himself. The Most High exalted him in the beginning. He said,
exactly.
Job is a righteous and blameless man. Job never said
exactly.
that.
No, Job never
said that. Yah said that.
Right.
And he could he's trying to explain that I've never done anything wicked, evil. And all the sins I've done, I've committed and confessed to Yah. And I've been wrong for it.
Okay.
Which shows that he knows he's not the perfect man. But
exactly.
even though Yah looked at him almost as the perfect man, blameless and righteous, he's saying that I still can't lift my head as if I were.
Yeah, I got
it. Bekartiel, so Shehudi, that would add to the fact what makes him blameless and righteous, because he know what he is and what he isn't and what he can and can't do. So that would add to his blamelessness and uprightness before the Most High, because he's humble before the Most High. So that would add to his status before the Most High, because that would add to each of our status before the Most High. And we recognize what we are, who we are, and we're doing the right things in accordance with that. And we're continuing working on ourselves, continue, as Cartier alluded to, going to the Most High when we sin and so on and so forth, and making things right, loving one another, supporting one another, encouraging one another, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, that's part of it, being humble.
And what does the Most High say about the humble? He said, the meek and the humble shall inherit what?
The earth.
Okay.
And it sounds like it, though. He's
humbling himself. That's why he loved
Job,
and that's why he loved Moses.
Yeah.
Exactly. And let me apologize, Cartier, to think that you were suggesting, inferring, and implying that I had said that I crossed the line. And so I was in error, so I do apologize.
So you have to let me finish my point before you jump in.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened.
That's why I apologize.
Yeah, okay.
He's learning.
Okay, chapter 16.
We love you, dear. We love you.
Thank you, sister. It is something to be proud of. It is something to be proud of to hunt me like a lion, to show yourself wondrous through me time and again. You keep sending fresh witnesses, these men against me. You're sending Yah, Elisitha. You're sending Beldad, and somebody is on the way too. There's going to be two more coming on the way. You keep sending these people against me, letting your vexation with me grow. I served my turn, and I'm in my own and my own replacement. Why did you let me come out of the womb, Yah? Better had I aspired before any eyes saw me, had I been as though I never was, had I been carried from the womb to the grave, my days are few. So desist, Yah. Leave me alone. Let me divert it for a while. Leave me alone. Sound like one of them comedians. Leave me alone. I mean, but he's serious. He's asking Yah, leave me alone. Let me be diverted for a while. I mean, give me some relief so I at least take these boys away, take this unloyal wife, take these witnesses you keep bringing against me, Beldad, Elisitha, and two more coming along the line. Get them off my back. Give me some relief before I depart, never to return. For the land of deeper gloom, a land whose light is darkness, Sheol, all gloomy. I'd rather be in Sheol to continue going what I'm going through. All gloom and disarray, whose light is like darkness. What Job is saying, look here, I can't stand the fact my children dead. My means of income has been taken away. I got boils from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. My wife is being unloyal to me, foolish woman. These fair weather friends are coming at me from all ends. Just give me some relief. And I'd rather go to Sheol. If I got to keep putting up with this, if I did something wrong, y'all, I'm ready to go. Just give me some relief from all this angst and so on and so forth. Therefore, I have said my say. Cartrell and Sushihuti, y'all have the mic.
Well, you added a lot to what he said in this chapter.
Yeah.
Right. He only focused on his friends right here. He's like, yo,
right,
these dudes is coming at me.
Right.
No good reason at all.
Exactly.
He mentioned his wife or his sons or what he lost.
Uh-huh.
He's like, you knew your witnesses against me and you appreciate indignation towards me. Changes and war are ever with me. He's talking about his friends.
Right? Exactly.
Think about this.
Uh-huh.
Mosiah wasn't really hunting Job like a fierce lion.
No.
He was only testing him.
Right.
On the other hand, with us, Yah is chasing us like a fierce lion.
You better believe it.
We went through the same thing Job went through, but with Yah's anger and wrath behind it. Not a test, but Yah's anger and wrath. He said, I'm going to put boils on you like the boils of Egypt from your head to toe. So we suffered the boils. We suffered the itch. We suffered the short hair and all that kind of stuff. Based on what we did. We lost our wives. We lost our inheritance. But it was actually Yah's wrath, and it wasn't.
Exactly.
And that wrath that's out there that we face is still out there because we haven't turned our ways back like Job is trying to in the story that
right.
we're reading.
Cartrell,
yes,
I speak? May I ask a question? Let me just make a statement, if I may.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember when I made the statement, Sister Huda Cartrell, that we Hebrew Israelites are like Rip Van Winkle. And we've woken up. Cartrell said it a long time ago, one of these study shows. We've woken up in ICU. We've woken up in ICU. And you got to be very careful how you approach people in ICU. You got to be very tender. And that's why we are very tender and merciful when we try to help point our brothers and sisters in the right direction. And so it wouldn't be conducive for Yom Suf Arif to go into ICU and holler, y'all get the hell up out of them bed. Ain't nothing wrong with y'all. Y'all just waking up. No. That ain't the way to do it. You love those brothers and sisters out of those ICU beds. Of just waking up out of Rip Van Winkleness. You love them out of there. You support them. You encourage, as in the case of Job. Instead of them coming to Job and ICU, being quiet, being tender, being merciful, being kind and supportive, just like us today. Some of our friends and some of our brothers and sisters don't even know how to approach us. They want to come in, Cartrell said this, you want to come into the ICU ward, although they've been asleep for 30, 40 years in comatose. You want to holler, y'all get y'all legs behind up. Y'all good for nothing. Now, come on, man. That ain't the way to talk to folks. And that ain't the way these so-called fair-weather friends should have talked to Job. He was sort of like an ICU. There's a way to talk to one another. And we need to learn, because we have to learn to value them as much as y'all value you. You know better than them. They're no better than you. We're all in this together. We're tethered together. And so you've got to be very cognizant and careful when you are speaking to one another. And as unlike his friends, Job's friend, they weren't cognitive. They didn't care. They were being dogmatic, pontificating, self-righteous and dogmatic, and so on and so forth. And that is not helping the matter. That's not unifying us together as a nation. That's not loving on one another, being supportive, which your means, if you have the means to. Being helpful, being taking them by the shoulder and walking them around and so on and so forth. even carry them sometimes. So we have to learn being Hebrew Israelite. Don't simply a namesake. It's a way of life. And it's respecting each other and seeing each other through the eyes of the Most High and seeing yourself how you really are. And those men should have took a look in the mirror, as Michael Jackson alluded to, before they came to see Job. Go ahead, Katrell. Thank you, brother.
Yes. He's supposed to be his friends, but he ain't talking about the Boyles. He ain't talking about his dumbass wife who he called a fool.
Oh, wow, Katrell. What you call that woman?
What?
Whoa, we.
Not,
that country, not the Katrell said you can't wake folks up and I see you like that. I guess, but you know what? I'm going to slide off that because I know this. There's a time and place for everything. That dumbass wife. Go ahead, Katrell.
He wasn't complaining about her. He wasn't complaining about the loss of his children. The thing that pained him the most was the words his friends was bringing him. He's like, why was I even born? You shouldn't even let me come out the womb. But your friends could push you to that point where, damn, I wish I was never even born. It's unfortunate.
And he said, he says, that my day is few. He said, before I go and not return to the land of darkness and the shadow of death, he's questioning all these things. Just think if you were stricken. Like Job, you're gonna go, wow, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? But you careful, you try not to sin in the words that you're speaking. So that's a heck of a situation. You lost all this, and a lot of us today walk around trying to figure out, why is this happening to me?
Right.
What did I do? In some cases, you did it to yourself, but
Hallelujah. Let's
go back and see. Instead of being super critical, let's see what happened. What did you think?
Right.
Well, I thought if I went right and then left, I'd be okay. I'm just using
right.
an example.
Mm-hmm.
But I should have went left then right instead of right then left. So, I mean, we self-examine when things happen in our lives, when there's such horrific things going on, we sit back and we're analytical. We try to figure out, from day one, when does this start? How come it started this way? How did I contribute to this conflict or this issue or this problem that I have? You know, you don't think about, and like Job, he got so far down, he started questioning his own existence, like, what's going on here?
That's
you
bad.
Know, I don't even feel like lifting in my head. I'm not even looking like I'm righteous or anything. He's trying to, it's like going backwards to see, what did I do to cause all this? What actually did I do, and am I worthy? It's like what he's going through is kind of humbling him in a sense. You know, while he's talking to the Most High at the same time, talking to his friends. So it will be revealed of how all this plays out. So that's interesting.
Well,
okay.
Job, if you look at the situation, he fell from a very lofty position.
Mm-hmm.
When we started the story, they said he was the richest man in the East, right?
Exactly.
How many camels did he have? How many sheep did he have? How many bulls? How many servants?
Thousands. Yeah, quite a bit, yeah.
He didn't complain about none of that in all his dialogue. He hasn't complained about none of that once. Here we are today. Let's speed it up to today. How many men and women that we know have been on lofty positions and fell? Like Bill Cosby, for instance.
Right.
Bill Cosby was about to buy NBC.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure he feel like Job right now. R. Kelly had mad popularity, fame, and fortune. And I'm sure he's feeling like Job now. Or maybe
mm-hmm.
not. Because they have a lot to answer for, don't they?
Exactly.
A lot to question themselves about, don't they?
Right.
Exactly.
So Yah will do it to you today like he did it back then. He was testing Job, and those men are being tested too. Your integrity, your righteousness, all men are going to be tested just like Job, whether you're high and lofty or low and lowly. Where's your
I've been Godrell, this is Huda. I've been tested so many times that it's to be expected. But you know what? I'm like Job in this respect. I ain't never thought what I had that I deserved it. And I ain't never thought that I was something special. And I won't, because I spoke to Sister Nisanya today. And I told her that the things I got, thanks to the Most High, I don't really deserve them. But it's a means to an end. I'm able to help people and so on and so forth. And if it's the Most High took it, I ain't that, well, I deserve it. I don't deserve anything. You know, and nobody should think they deserve anything. And because that's the Western Hemisphere concept, a fallen universal white race supremacy can get you into trouble with the Most High. That's their mind. They deserve this. They have this privilege. They have this right, as the case of Kyle Rittenhouse, to do what he did. As the case in those murders of our brother, Ahmaud Arbery. They think they have a right. They deserve to do what they did to our brother. So I never thought when I was doing wrong, when I was a bad guy, I never thought that I deserved. I did things like we all do things.
Mm-hmm.
But I was humble enough to always try to get back right with Yah, because when I wasn't right with Yah, man, I felt miserable. I don't know how anybody can be disconnected from Yah, because I feel miserable. When I'm not on the study show, on the Real Talk for Real People study show, I feel miserable. When I called Cartrell, Sister Yehudia, Sister Aviyah of New York City, I said, well, look here, we need to take a break today. And by the time showtime come on, I be crying. Man, I got to get on the show. But I pray to Yah. He said, no, you need a break, Sue. You need a break. And I be thirsting after righteousness. That's all I thirst after. I don't thirst after gold, fame, women, money, none of that. I thirst after righteousness. And if you don't thirst after righteousness, something ain't right with you. Go ahead, Cartier.
You know, I was thinking, you know, the terminology might say, in my mind, I'm just speaking opinion, appreciation, what I've learned. Like you said, instead of thinking that and first of all, what popped in my head is demonic. When you talk about the Caucasian people, not all, but a lot, you know, it's a demonic type. It's so irrational. And these are things that have been talked about through the scriptures. But even so, it's still an irrational action.
Right.
To have that mindset to think you're privileged, you deserve it. We have been on, say, we appreciate.
Exactly.
We changed, like you said, in that Western mindset. I appreciate. Someone asked me, how could you be so calm or kind of on the joyful side for 5 days you didn't have any electricity?
Right.
I said, well, nothing I can do about it.
Right.
And I'm thankful I had the mind. I had a daughter that took me to the store. I was able to get ice. I talked about this story before.
Praise God.
I read more. I ate salad every day.
Praise Yah.
So I ate. You know, I think about there in Yemen, how it's a deliberate act. Here you got five babies lined up on the bed, can't even stand up skinny.
Oh, Lord.
And they're dying of starvation. You see what I'm saying? This is why.
I feel you.
Right. How can I not appreciate? See, I expose a little bit of what's going on in my life. Maybe someone listening might be in the same or similar or worse or whatever their perception is with their situation and say, look, not so much it could be worse, but you have, like, I agree with what Murray said, the Most High exists because we breathe. We're alive. We're in the living. And I have this attitude now to say, I appreciate. Personally, I'd rather communicate. Now, it may sound strange. I know people who have done things not too kosher, as I say. But once they come out of it and they change, I find them to be better friends than people who never did anything negative or wrong.
Amen.
Because they have this very critical outlook. You know, if a person's never drank beer, they have this this past judgment thing. You never had beer, so how would you criticize what beer tastes like? Or
right.
if a person was an alcoholic and then they're not, how can you judge them? They stopped, and you never had, you know, those kind of people, I'm kind of leery. You never had any kind of experience. And then able to repent from it and really change, not just speaking the words, but doing the action. And that's something I think is missing. People can cry. We can cry out to the Most High, which we're supposed to do. But after the crying and after we go through all that, then what's next? Change. Because
right.
like you said, the Most High said that Job was the at that time the most righteous man. Most High said it. We didn't say it. So why can't we try to strive to be like Job? I'm not talking about the material things, his mentality. As we read further, which I won't go ahead of myself, we'll see.
Thank you, Cecilia. Contrail, do
and
you
a
have...
shout out to Yakira. I forgot. She's listening. I hope she clicks one because we always enjoy it. Go ahead.
They will have that liberty. After Cartier sings this one short song for us in Psalms, and they will have that liberty because anybody can turn their mic on so we can chat together as brothers and sisters. Cartier, my brother, do you have a commentary before you pull out your Psalms?
Yeah. Sister Hootie said Job is a good example for us. And my mother always said you can learn what to do and what not to do. And there's some things that Job did that, you know, we question whether he should have did it or not. And maybe we can learn from that. But overall, we have to learn how to be upright and blameless, just like Job, ultimately.
Amen.
So that we have that tie with Yah, so that Yah would love us, so Yah would even show us off, because he's basically showing Job off.
Right.
And Job comes through with flying colors, even though he's struggling with it. And
right.
we struggle with the Most High now. And that's our name, Yisrael. He will struggle with Yah and man as prevail. So we're
mm-hmm.
in a struggle to get ourselves aligned with Yah, just like Job. But we have to try to do better.
Amen, brother. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yep. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Cartrell. Thank you, Sister Yehudi. Cartrell, mm-hmm. will you please play with this, share with the listeners that beautiful Psalms you're about to turn out. And then if they're inclined to have comments, make commentaries and share something with us, make testimonies, praise God, whatever you're inclined to. Hit number one on your phone, we'll bring you right on. Go ahead, Katria.
Praise God, the Holy One of Israel. We're in Psalm 117.
117, okay.
Yep. Two
praise
verses.
God.
Oh, you were thinking the same thing. Go ahead. When we spoke yesterday, go ahead.
The Most High always synchronized things, doesn't he? Hmm?
Praise the Most High.
Synchronicity. We call it animo magico. All these songs are dedicated to the Most High, which is why most of them start off with praise to the Most High. Hallelujah. We say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
When I hear people in church say hallelujah, it kills me because they, well, number one, don't realize they're speaking Hebrew. Number two, they don't really realize what they're saying. Praise Yah. And then you put the name of an idol behind it.
Yeah, they praise the Creator. You're right. And then put an idol. You're correct.
Hallelujah. You hear that all the time in church. But it's a good thing because all living should give praise to Yah. So we take the opportunity to give praise to Yah, all praise to the Holy One of Israel. And that's
hallelujah.
How the song starts out. Oh, praise Yah. Who should praise Yah?
All
nations. Not just
yes.
the nation of Israel, but every nation that Yah created. You're not Yah created all these nations, right?
Exactly.
In case you forgot where he created them at the Tower of Babel. He made them speak different languages and tongues. To confuse them, because they challenged him. At the
and they confused, too. And they are confused.
Yeah. And it's funny, because to learn a new language today, they got a program called Babel. How ironic is that?
Oh, my God.
That's ironic.
Go buy Babel. You can speak Spanish, French, German, Russian. Let's get a Babel program.
That's ironic.
Yeah. But they know what they're doing. So exactly. All nations are supposed to praise Yah. Praise him, not just the nations, but all peoples. Even if you don't have a nation, you're supposed to praise Yah. So we're not bugging. They say believe in science, trust science. No, science doesn't praise Yah, do they?
Oh, what is that theory they had, the Big Bang?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My daddy had it with my mama, Big Bang. And the Most High set everything in motion with the Big Bang Theory. It's certainly right. That's the Big Bang Theory, all praises to Yah, that my daddy had with my mama, the Big Bang. That's how I came out. Y'all go ahead.
Anyway.
And you are one of Yah's miracles.
You better believe it.
I don't know how or why he created you, but he did.
Well, his kindness is mighty over us.
Yes. They say the Most High, the God of the Old Testament, is the main and angry God. But I think it's different. For he is merciful. For his merciful kindness is great towards us. Who's us? All nations, all people. Because Yah could have destroyed his creation a long time ago, right?
Hallelujah. Amen.
All he had to do was stop the sun from shining. He could have commanded the sun, don't give light to man anymore. Please, stop running your course.
Exactly.
Can the Most High say that? Will the sun obey if Yah commanded the sun to stop shining?
You better believe it.
Okay. So his merciful, his kindness is great towards all living, all nations, all people, including Israel.
And it's true.
And the truth of Yah endures forever, no matter what science says. Be it theory of a Big Bang, and one cell evolving into all these things, and humans coming from apes. No, Yah's truth endures forever. He said, each seed after its own time. Gorillas produce gorillas. Chimpanzees produce chimpanzees. Whales produce whales of all kinds of families of whales, and they don't intermingle. Each seed is, in fact, after its own time, unless man tampers with the seed, which is what they're doing with genetic engineering.
Exactly.
They can is what they do. But Yah's truth endures forever. And it ends with hallelujah. Praise Yah.
Hallelujah. Praise Yah. But Katria, I do agree with them on the Big Bang. As I said, Yah made it right. My dad had a Big Bang and my mama too, I suspect. And here I am. That's the Big Bang theory I believe in. All praises to Yah. Hold on. Let me finish. They had a good time with the Big Bang. The Big Bang, I suspect. I didn't ask them, okay? That's all the Big Bang I believe. Yo, go ahead.
I'm sure you heard of the Macy's Day Parade in New York, right?
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the 4th of July celebrations on the East River, right?
Oh, 4th of July? Yeah, I heard of it.
So when they set up those fireworks, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. An engineer had to be behind it, right?
Exactly.
In order to see Mickey Mouse in the sky. And Goofy and Minnie Mouse and all these forms and figures, some engineering mind had to put the fireworks together for them to go off in some kind of synchronicity in order for you to see the displays that you see, right?
All right.
Exactly.
So when they say Big Bang, when I first heard this in elementary school, my first question was, who created the Big Bang? Like, it just came out of nowhere?
Right.
And why doesn't it Big Bang all the time if it just came out of nowhere? When is the next Big Bang?
Right.
And who initiated it?
Right.
Oh, they tell you that, there's intelligent design behind creation. Of course
A bunch of nonsense. And I suspect my dad and mama didn't ask who was the Big Bang came from. But here I am. All praise to Yah.
I'm sure they
reminded us.
And praise y'all for giving me parents that had a Big Bang with me, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay, fellow students. May the Most High bless you. I'm keeping it real on the Real Talk for Real
Show. It's okay. It's all good.
I'm keeping it real, Sister Huda, Brother Contrary. Yeah, I'm keeping it real. Raw and uncut. If any one of our fellow students would like to make any kind of commentary, hit number one on your phone. I'm going to bring you on. We're going to chat.
Okay? I'm hoping my brother, Zaquane Elder Shalomo out of Jamaica, is on the phone. I hope he can get through.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes. I did tell him about it, too.
Yes.
Well, there's a lot of people on the phone. I see our sister from Hawaii. She's on the phone. I see a call from New York City. But no one is inclined to hit number one, so I'm not inclined to bring them up. Yeah.
Come on, you guys. It's not, oh, well. We love to hear from you.
Man, we got to love on one another. What's wrong with y'all, man? Can we just all get along?
Oh, I love that. Can we all get along?
All right. I believe our brother that Cottrell spoke about from New York City. May the Most High bless you, brother. Your mic is hot. Shalom. Your mic is hot, brother.
Oh, shalom, shalom, everyone. Can I be heard?
I'm
sorry, sister. I'm sorry. I thought it was brother Cottrell was referring to. Dear sister, your mic is hot. May the Most High bless you. Shalom.
I'm not in New York, but I'm actually using an app on my phone, so it brings up a New York City number. But it's Sister Deborah in Jamaica. So
we know you, sister. What's up, Sister Deborah? May the Most High bless you.
Praise the Most High. May He bless you all. I'm enjoying the program.
It's a pleasure hearing from you again. You have any commentary, sister? You have any subject matters you want to speak on or speak to Sister Who? I mean, by all means, you have the mic.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I don't really have anything in particular now, but I'm just enjoying tonight. I'll be coming back again for sure because I really do enjoy this program. So when I come back next time, I have questions. So
you know,
tonight,
we miss
I just want to
hey, you know we miss you. You ain't got to treat us this way, Sister Bora. You know we miss you. You ain't got to treat us like this.
Well, you know what, Yamsu, I'm glad she's on, and I really miss you. I hear on the Bible studies, and it's just a joy to hear from you, and welcome.
Well,
we love you. Yes.
Praise the mighty Yah. I'm so glad.
Praise
I spoke to Shalomo, Elder Shalomo earlier, and he gave me the number, so I said, oh, wonderful. I wanted to come on again. I've been on already with Imadora.
Right.
That's the mama. That's Big Mama right there. That's Big Mama, Big Ema.
Well, Elder Shalomo gave you the number. Where is he?
I know.
Right.
He pushes other people to do stuff.
That's cold.
He gave me the number and he told me the time, and I'm on, and he's not on.
Yeah, I spoke to him 15 minutes before the show, and I told him how to get on. He's probably out there listening.
Yeah, he probably listened.
Oh, he's listening.
Yeah. Well, you know,
we love you. Shalom.
Well, we love you, sister.
Oh,
but you know we
you
have, we have, I'm sorry, Sister Bora, you know we have almost 4,300 students on this show. So, yeah, so we have a lot of people on this show, 4,300-something. It's steady growing. It's praise y'all.
Oh, praise the mighty Yah. Just wonderful. Hallelujah. And you guys are reading from the book of Job, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay. Are you going to continue in Job when, next week or tomorrow? Or?
Yes, ma'am. We do it. We do it Monday through Friday.
Oh,
chapter by chapter.
Book by book.
Okay. So you guys will be back on tomorrow.
Yes, ma'am.
Chapter 11.
Okay, praise Yah. At the same time?
Yes, ma'am.
Same time.
Oh, hallelujah. Okay,
hey,
I'll definitely continue.
Sister Bora, I need you to do a favor for me.
Yes.
We have a dear, young, wonderful sister out of Hawaii. Will you please ask her to come on here at number one so she can speak to us before you go? Will you please ask her, sister from Hawaii? What's her name, Sister Yehuda?
Yahira.
Sister Yakira.
Yakira.
I know you out there listening, Sister Yakira. You need to come on and speak to folks, okay? Don't do it like that.
Hallelujah. Please come on and talk with us, Sister Yakira. We would love to hear from you.
I don't think you realize all the love she got.
Well, she may very well be at work, though. Now, she may very well be at work. Because remember, yesterday, about 30 minutes or 20 minutes when the show was going off, she was just getting off. So, if that's the case, you know, we understand.
Okay.
I'm going to tell her she ain't work today. But it's all good. You know, some people, she talks when she'll talk, but I was just glad that she did yesterday. It
was
beautiful.
Exactly. It was. Looking forward to speaking with her again, Sister Yehudi.
Yes, but she's a positive young lady.
Certainly is.
She's trying to get used to all this love.
Yeah, it can scare you sometimes when you ain't used to it.
She's a loving person. She's got a beautiful personality.
Well, you know, but I'm going to tell you sometimes, Sister Hootie, you know what I tell people on the show sometimes? Mm-hmm. And she knows the difference. A fish born in toxic water doesn't realize it's in toxic water until it's shown something different. And sometimes we as human beings are born into toxic situations and so on and so forth. We don't realize it's toxic until we see something different.
Hmm.
It's true.
Sister Yehudi.
All right.
Yes.
I saw Yakira's profile on Facebook today.
Huh.
And she looks just like my sister, Nizria.
Wow.
Oh.
You saw my sister, Nizria, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you saw Yakira, right?
Yes.
Don't they look like sisters?
Yeah. That's why I said, wow. I think I saw your sister.
Yeah.
Compared to Yakira's profile. Yes, they do. They do. They do favor. I see it.
Okay,
well, you know we family then.
No doubt.
That's a good thing.
You said you felt a connection.
Right.
It might be closer than we think.
Exactly.
You know what? That's true. That's true.
Well, Sister DeBoer.
Yes,
do you have any closing remarks?
Oh, well... My prayers for Israel is that we would just unite. Over here in Jamaica, we just have a lot of killings, and it's really worrying, and I'm just asking for prayers. We need to pray for our people, and we really need to unite. It is time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
And the government's not doing anything.
No, they're not doing anything, sis. They're caught up in the vaccination blitz. Yep. That's what they want to do. They want to vaccinate all of us. Yep.
You got your exemption letter?
No, I haven't got mine as yet. And I also need to get my ID. I was on the elders' call on Sunday. I need to get my picture off to Elder Shamaya so that I can get the ID. But I haven't got the exemption letter as yet. But I'm wondering if it would work for me over here in Jamaica. But I still want it. I definitely want it. Because it should be worldwide. I'm wondering.
Worldwide. Because we are scattered worldwide.
Right.
And we stand for Yah wherever we are.
Yes.
Most I said, if we obeyed him, that none of these diseases would affect them. And I refer you to the 91st Psalm. No plague shall come nigh thy dwelling.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, so I definitely should get my exemption letter. I definitely should get it.
Praise Yah.
It's right there on the website, yahwillgather.us.
Yes.
And you can act right.
Thank Sister Deborah. I think
yes, my brother.
My sister, before we get out of here, I'm going to ask Contrera to lead us in a word of prayer before I ask Sister Yehudi for her comment. I mean, so we'll pray for our brothers and sisters universally dispersed.
Yes.
Contrera, will you do us the honor in praying for our nation universally dispersed for the crime and the violence toward one another and so on and so forth?
Cain, praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God.
The King of the Universe, we give thanks to even voice our concerns with our sisters and brothers worldwide. As we read in the story of Job, we know that you know all things, Yah. We pray that you circumcise our heart to even serve you in truth. We pray that you even make us worthy to be your servants. We ask that you look upon us in your everlasting mercy and kindness upon our people and our situations, that you would bring justice to our cause wherever we are in need of justice, that you would even cause our people to put down their arms against one another, Yah, to show us that we need to love one another as we love ourselves, that we need to learn to love ourselves, for we are your treasure, Yah. Show us that we are your treasure, Yah, and that we could appreciate one another for being your servant. We thank you for the opportunity to get to know you better, Yah. We thank you for the opportunity to get to know our brothers and sisters even better, Yah. We pray that you bring us together with one heart, one mind, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, on the same page, with the same purpose, to fulfill your will, Yah. We ask for the humility of Yo, the wisdom of King Solomon, Yah, that we will walk this path that you've given us. We thank you for all things and everything, for life, for health, for breath. We thank you for sending your guardian angels out to protect us each and every day. We ask that you continue to do this on our behalf. And most of all, Yah, we ask that you hear and hearken to the prayers of your servants, wherever we are scattered, whatever condition that we're in.
Hallelujah.
Once again, we thank you for all things and everything. All glory and honor belong to you, Yah. Hallelujah.
Praise Yah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That was a beautiful prayer. And I pray that the Lord gives us.
Beautiful.
Deborah, we're going to ask Sister Yehudi, what's our closing remarks?
I get excited when there's new people come in my life, but not only new, but people I've known for a long time. And even people that just come into my life, I get excited because we walk this path alone. When I mean alone, even though we're a nation, we just ain't nation-minded, we're scattered. And just thinking about it, all of the four of us, plus my new little sis, we're all from different parts of this country. And
you mean
world.
Our new little sis?
Okay, sorry. I'm sorry, our... Okay.
Yeah, I don't know where you got yours. Okay.
I get greedy. I got to get all the daughters and sons I can. You got your two daughters. And Ema, Deborah, is always beautiful to hear her voice, and because we know what's going on in the world.
She's
given us insight. And you got to be strong to know what's going on in the world. You're crazy. And even though we get criticized, people say, oh, you're just in a religion. I hear you say, hallelujah, praise the Most High. I said, that's our energy. And a lot of us use that energy in the churches and the synagogues and the assembly. With that energy, just the creator and maker of all things. That's just our energy. When we say, hallelujah, praise him. This is just who we are as a people. And we go all out. Even for the wrong things, for the idols. And things will be revealed as time goes on. About who, not only who we are, but revealed. Wait a minute, let me, because I got a patch. I got this back beat going on.
Right.
So I'm always, it inspires me when I hear Cottrell, hear anybody that's come on, young, older, whatever, it inspires me to be better and to do better and look at my frailties, look at my shortcomings and see where I need to sharpen, where I need to improve. And I love to listen to young people because they're out there, they're in the mix, they're involved. And they have a quick mind. Not to say our minds are quick because we're seniors, okay? We ain't old and out. But we can give them good advice as well as they can give us advice. So I'm thankful. And I thank everybody on this line. And I love you all. Jehu.
Love you too, sis.
Love you too, sis.
We love you too. Cottrell, my dear brother and friend. What is your closing remarks?
I noticed there's a trend going on. The Most High is bringing forth a lot of sisters in this nation-building process, where you would think there would be a lot more brothers. So I've learned to respect our sisters and what Yah does with them and for them and to them, because this comatose situation, they seem to be waking up with more insight and understanding than a lot of brothers. And I pray that with the love and charm that they have, that they can inspire our people on a massive scale in a way of Yah, because our women have a way of doing that. So all power to our women. I pray that the Most High hears their voice to help lift this nation up.
Hallelujah.
Praise. I would just simply say the hand that rocks the cradle, and they can produce more Hebrew brothers and sisters. The hand that rocks the cradle roots. And if you don't realize that, you don't understand the dynamics. You don't understand the significance and importance of the women in our nation. And you're totally confused about everything. That being said.
You all right there?
Yeah. I got something in my throat, but I'm right now. Thank you, Katya. That being said, thank you, Sister Deborah. Thank you, Sister Yehudi. Thank you, fellow students, for studying with us the word of Yah. All praise and glory be unto his name. That our souls and all that within us praise his holy name. We don't know what's going on, but we do know this for certain. Y'all getting ready to get out of here. We've been studying together. We've been studying together. We've been loving and supporting and encouraging one another. May the Most High bless you and direct you in order your steps. The Most High footsteps are your pathways, which is his word. Study that word. Be due diligent in the study of that word. Be morally obligated in the study of that word. And learn to execute yourself in the study of that word. But we do offer parting gifts at the end of each study session, which is a new heart and a new spirit. Now, we can't give it to you. We can take a horse to the water, but we can't make it drink. But we can take it to the right source in order to get it, which is the Most High. So when you get off this study session, you know you need a new heart, a new spirit. Please pray to him. You will receive. If you're earnest in your prayer, you will receive a new heart. And then we all need it. So that being said, that new heart will be humble, will be contrite, steadfast in the Most High. And that new spirit, someone like our king, King David. The Most High said he's a man after our own heart, meaning that's the kind of heart he strives to have, which was loving the Most High with all his heart, mind, soul, and strength, every little bit of drop of it, and loving his neighbors, which is his brothers and sisters universally, as he loves himself, meaning that he or she must learn to love themselves. Because it's virtually impossible to love your brothers and sisters if you don't learn to love yourself. I know they say you're black, you're ugly, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're monkey, you're animal. You're not none of those things. You're more than those things. Don't let your enemy put these labels on you. You execute it. Be bigger than that. Be better than that. Be like your creator say you are. You are a peculiar people. And start acting like it. Also, in a final analysis, it's just thirst after righteousness. Meaning,
hallelujah.
You can't get enough of it. You cannot get enough of the Most High word. And when you don't hear it, you're left empty. You're left thirsting for it. That's how you should be with a scribe, the Most High Word. Those gifts we offer to you, as I said, Katriel, Sister Huda, Sister Bora, we can't give them to you, but we can point you in the right direction. We love you.
Right.
May the Most High bless you. Shalom and good night. Host, do y'all want to say good night? Shalom. You love the people.
Wow. Shalom. Good night.
Shalom. Most High bless.
Yes.
Praise y'all.
Love
Shalom.
You too.
And good night.